Welcome and come on in to Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study.
We hope and pray everyone is doing well tonight as we prepare for this time together. Here it is, Monday, and what is this, the 21st day of November, and guess what? Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and so we give God praise for allowing us to see another day. Let us know that the sound is clear and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for our time together tonight. I tell you, we're about ready to move right through this Song of Solomon as we prepare to look at the 8th chapter tonight. And we praise God for how we have had an enjoyable time in this study. And it has been a very rich experience, and we hope that you have felt God's power and presence as we have moved through this time together. And so, Lady Kim, we're going to prepare to get started tonight. I believe there are about 14 verses in that 8th chapter, and we're looking forward to how the Lord has impressed you to lead us through this time together tonight. And so we're looking forward to that. Let's prepare and let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you now for being our God. We thank you that you are a healer and a deliverer, and that all power is within your hands. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's absolutely nothing too hard for you. So God, we pray that you would just meet us in this time, in this sacred moment together as we study your word. You've already decreed that it would not return until you void. And so we stand on your promises even tonight. And God, we pray for each person that's going to tune in and those who will be a part of this time together by playback. And now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Have mercy on us. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. Amen. All right. Well, Lady Kim, this is the 8th chapter, and we're really about ready to wrap up this time together, and we're going to see how far we can get through these 14 verses tonight. Maybe we'll just pick up about 7 of them and pick the other 7 up next week. Is that good for you?
That's fine.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about this busy weekend that we just experienced at ATOP. What were some of the significant points that you were able to pick up? The worship service, of course, the dedication. And I tell you, it was just an amazing time in the Lord on yesterday.
Amen. Well, as you said, we did have the dedication of our education building yesterday as we celebrated two beloved people, members of our congregation, Director William Hughes, who made his transition earlier this year to be with the Lord, such a powerful witness in the community, in the church. Anybody he met or came in contact with, he was a blessing to their lives. And then his beautiful wife, Mother Elizabeth Hughes, we just thank God for her as she continues to hold up the bloodstained banner. And so we thought that there was no other fitting tribute than to name our educational building after the Hugheses. So William and Elizabeth Hughes' educational building was dedicated on yesterday, and it was a wonderful time. Kind of nippy and cold outside, but we got it done.
All right. Anything from yesterday's message or worship experience? I think you were kind of moving around a little bit on yesterday at Children's Church and had a lot of things happening, had a lot of moving parts. But did you get a chance to pick up anything from that experience?
Well, you did a part two on Make Room for Your Harvest, but mm-hmm. I don't think you got to any of your points.
Well, so I think you're correct in that. But we did emphasize the fact that it's important and it's key for us to make room for the harvest that God yet has in store. And then for us to really examine ourselves as we close out, prepare to close out this year and get ready to go into the new year. Many times people wait till the first of the year to start with resolutions and start trying to get a sense of what they need to do to review and refresh their lives so that they won't have to step into the same holes or make the same mistakes going into the new year. But I'm of the opinion, Lady Kim, that we don't have to wait until the first of the year to start looking at what we have done, what we need to improve on, some things we need to correct. And God is, I believe, well pleased when we make those adjustments and when we do things that bring glory and honor to His name. And so yesterday, we really just re-emphasized the fact how we believe that God really wants us to receive an abundant harvest, but there are some steps and there are some things that we have to do in order to be prepared for what He has in store. And I really kind of just emphasize the fact that we need to pray, because we need to step up our prayer game, because that latter verse says that pray ye therefore the Lord, pray to the Lord of the harvest, that He might send forth laborers into the vineyard. Mm-hmm. And many times when we pray, how many of us can really be honest with ourselves and say that we are praying and asking the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the vineyard? Mm-hmm. And so that was the closing verse of that particular chapter in the ninth chapter of Matthew's gospel. And so we just stopped, Lady Kim, in the midst of what we were doing, and the celebration was high, the spirit was high, and just called the church to prayer, and how important it is for us to be fervent in our prayers and to step up our prayer game and pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers. And I hope and pray that those of us who are committed to prayer and who are committed to the study of God's word will take serious that prayer and be fervent in your prayers. And if God has asked us to do that, then God is not like man that He should lie. If He said He would bring it to pass, then we have to be obedient to Him in doing what He requires of us if we expect to get what He wants us to have.
Amen. Amen. That's great. And like you said, we have to be prayerful in season and out of season. We need to be prayerful and ask God to send more laborers into the vineyard. You know, I know there's something that I read that I've read several times, that out of every church, whether it's a big church, a small church, a medium-sized church, you have 20% of the people that do 80% of the work.
Yeah.
20% of the people that do 80% of the work. So the plea has always been that we need more laborers in the vineyard, and that we pray to God to send more
That's right.
laborers.
And I think and you're absolutely correct, and that really came through the corporate world, where we understand that whole dynamic. But one of the things I think we fail to do as believers is be specific in our prayers. Mm. And so I encourage people, even when they say they're praying for the pastor, don't just say, Lord, bless the pastor, but call my name. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want my prayer to get mixed up with another Thomas Murray out there. Somebody was telling me as we were going through the feeding line yesterday that there was a man downtown that is my twin. Hmm. And that every time they see him and he understands that he looks like me, I tell them, I don't believe it. And they said, well, yeah, Pastor. And he says that he looks like you as well. And so y'all could be twins. So I'm looking forward to meeting this man that they said is my twin. But I don't want an identity theft to take place when it comes to the prayers that are to go forth on my behalf. So call my name Thomas L. Murray, and make sure that you speak that into existence. And the same is true, Lady Kim, when it comes to us asking God for laborers. We can see a need, but if we don't be specific in terms of asking God what we need, then we can get a blanket blessing and not get a specific need met in the life of the church.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I know you were moving back and forth yesterday, but, and then on top of that, we had a young man to come in tears. He's been hanging around ATOP for a minute and working behind the scenes and helping with one of our other members and making sure that everything is taken care of, and he's there to meet needs. And he gave his life to the Lord on yesterday, and then he wanted to be baptized, hadn't been baptized. And I tell you, that was heartfelt for me, because we have been talking with him for a minute, and others have as well. And I don't think he even anticipated, from talking with him after service, that he had any plan to come and join church that's on yesterday. But the Lord moved. I said, well, what was it? He said, well, the songs were good, Pastor. The preaching was good. And I just felt the Lord moving. And, and the next thing I knew, I was up on my feet and I was coming down to give my life to the Lord. Some people thought I was asking for prayer. I told them, no, I want to be baptized. I want to join the church. And so that's how God was moving yesterday. And then after we sat down and had the dedication and went outside and had the ribbon cutting, we came back in for a delicious pre-Thanksgiving meal. Mm-hmm. And we have some of the best cooks this side of heaven. And they really outdid themselves on yesterday. And then, Lady Kim, after we finished all of that, and it was set up in a different and unique style, I kind of like that style. Everybody was sitting at the table. The table was already prepared. People were sitting around. And everybody who came in, they were sitting at a table, and we were preaching. And as they were sitting, so we wouldn't have to do a lot of breakdown and setup after the worship experience. But I kind of liked that setup, because it really felt good, and it felt different to see people. Some people came in, they were kind of like,
they were thrown off.
where am I going to sit? Where do I supposed to sit? And so people got a chance to sit with people that they didn't know. And it was a great time. And after we finished the cleanup, this was a long day for us, but it was a very powerful day. After we finished the cleanup, loaded up the bus and went out and began to distribute food to some 400 people, including two shelters. And we stopped along the way to make sure that we addressed the needs of those who were on the streets. It's cold outside. And we prayed for people, and we had a glorious time. And I could just feel the approval of God, because we were actually walking in what God requires of us as believers, and not just get so caught up in coming to church and dealing with what happens in between the four walls and not get outside. There's a great work that needs to be done, and God is making available us to do it. That's why it's so important that we are specific in terms of what we're asking God to do, and asking him to send more laborers. He sent a laborer yesterday.
Yes, he did.
He sent a worker yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And so it did my heart good right after we finished that prayer that God answered right on the scene.
Yes.
And so I'm just excited. And we had donations from Florida, from people who were willing to seed into the ministry of what we were doing in terms of our feeding program. And I just see it exploding. I see that being a catalyst for us going forward into the next year. And those of you who are online, I want to encourage you to get involved. I mean, we had a bus full of people who went with us just to experience the outreach effort that happens each fourth Sunday. I want to encourage you to really be prayerful and see what God is saying to you as it relates to using your gifts and being involved in kingdom work.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. It was awesome on yesterday. And as you said, as we went out into the community, you know, I think that's what God is pleased with. He wants us not only to, he wants us to be the church in the world. That means putting feet and hands to of the gospel. That means doing something tangible. not just saying something, but also doing something. So it was a wonderful experience, as it always is. We usually go out on the fourth Sunday, but because this coming Sunday is the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and we wanted to do something prior to that. So we just thank God that we were able to go out and deliver meals and then pass out meals to people that were in need in the community. What an awesome time that was.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and see what lies ahead as we prepare to jump into this study tonight. There are 14 verses. We're in the 8th chapter. There are only 8 chapters in the Song of Solomon, and we're right there. And we're not going to rush. We're a little ahead of where we need to be at this time, but I think that there's a lot here that we can share and then see how it relates to us and get the connection in terms of what God is saying to us through the Song of Solomon. And as I've indicated already throughout this study, it's fascinating and amazing how God made sure that he was holistic in his approach in terms of meeting our needs. And he dealt with a full spectrum of everything that we might be going through and everything that we might be experiencing. As Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so there's nothing that we go through or nothing that we can experience that God has not already gone through, or that he has not already experienced, so that he knows what we need even before we get there.
Amen. And as you stated, you know, the Song of Solomon, you know, God is so holistic in his approach that he even included or had them to include a chapter about love and how a man and a woman relate to each other. But not only how a man and a woman relate to each other, it's also symbolic of how Christ loves the church.
That's
and
right.
How the church is the bride of Christ.
That's right.
And how he longs for intimacy with his bride.
That's right.
And so we're going to talk about that or wrap that up on this evening. And there's a lot of course, symbolism here
right.
that we will continue to see.
Okay. One of the titles suggests here that the girl, the young woman of Jerusalem, and the King Solomon, the two lovers reveal that they are fiercely in love with one another. And so we see that continuing to be the theme throughout these eight chapters as we get a sense of how they are expressive in their love. And as you just indicated, the same is true in God's expression of his love toward us. For the Bible tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved us, he so loved the world, that he was willing to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So, oh, what love the Father has extended toward us. And we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility, and I don't take it lightly, to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so you want to go ahead and read? We'll just try to kind of tackle 7 of these verses tonight, Lady Kim. We're a couple of weeks ahead of our schedule, and then we can come back and review the latter 7 verses on next week.
Okay.
All right. And you know what, Lady Kim, before you start, I might just do a special Thanksgiving live feed on Thanksgiving Day. We'll see how that goes, but I'm going to make sure I take all of my equipment with me as we prepare to visit and make our rounds for Thanksgiving.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sounds good.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're in the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Oh, that you were like a brother to me who nursed at my mother's breast. If I found you outside, I would kiss you and none would despise me. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, she who used to teach me. I would give you spiced wine to drink, the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand is under my head and his right hand embraces me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Who is that coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Under the apple tree I awakened you. There your mother was in labor with you. There she who bore you was in labor. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strength, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised.
Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? Because he starts out with continuing the expression of appreciation for the beauty of his bride,
mm-hmm.
and begins to share. But as you done in the past, Lady Kim, there is a lot here that relates not just to Solomon and this Shunammite woman, but it also relates to us as the church and how important it is for us to get a sense of what God is saying in these particular verses, and not just allow this to be a love story that we read and miss the significance of what God is saying.
Right, absolutely. And the church desires the constant intimacy and freedom with the Lord that a sister has with a brother. Mm-hmm. You know, that close communion with a sister, between a sister and a brother, can be like the close communion between Christ and the church. Brothers and sisters are normally close.
Okay.
They came out of the same womb and they received food from their mother's body.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters are at times not comfortable with natural affection, you know, with one another. You know how brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you want to hug your brother when you grow up. Hey, go mm-hmm. on, girl, don't do that to me. You know, so they're not comfortable with that natural affection. You know, they're kind of ashamed of that sometimes.
Okay.
But thank God, the older you get, the more comfortable you get with expressing affection towards your siblings.
You're right, Lady Kip. And even as you were just making those comments, I was thinking, you know, sometimes people never experience that kind of affection. And many times, even growing up, if it's not expressed, when you get out there on your own, there's a void in many lives because they have not experienced that at home.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they go looking for it in other places, mm-hmm. and in strange places, and sometimes gang association and different other toxic relationships will mm-hmm. emerge because they are looking for something that should have been expressed to them and given them a sense of identity before they left home. And then the other thought I was thinking about was that there are a lot of estranged relationships between siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people share with me about how they have not had relationship with their brother or sister, or even a parent, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so even as you were sharing that, I was just thinking about that, because particularly around this time of the year, it's focused on the family.
Mm-hmm.
And many times people suffer in silence because they don't have that kind of relationship. And so they seek out other means in order to fill that void.
Absolutely.
So for whoever it might be that's listening, and nobody told us anything, we're just trying to follow the lead of the Spirit, we want to encourage you to seek the face of God and ask for forgiveness, and even ask for God to forgive that person, or whether it's a brother, sister, or either a parent, of some wrong that may have occurred or happened that's keeping you at distance and at odds with those whom you need to be close to. Because when it boils down, Lady Kim, and we've said this before, if we get out of this life with a couple of friends, that's we're doing real good.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And but you know, family is going to be there when everything else begins to crumble around you and when everything else begins to move away from you. And so if we don't have those kind of relationships, then it's going to be, I can't even imagine how a person might feel if they without the love and affection of those who know them and know them well.
Amen. And one thing about it, you can't pick your family.
That's right.
You can choose and pick your friends, but you can't choose and pick your family. And so when God connects you with a family, I think that's God's way of allowing us to understand how to deal with relationships.
Okay.
Like you said, if we don't form a bond or relationship with our family members, a positive bond, mm-hmm. or connection with our family members, then it's many times difficult to form relationships or bonds or connections outside of your family.
Okay.
For some people, you know, it's necessary to move from that bond with family certain family members, I should say. But as a whole, you should be connected with someone in your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important to have a relationship with your family members.
Well, let me ask you this, Lady Kim. What was the atmosphere in your home growing up? Were there a lot of expressions of love and hugging and I love you and I hope you, you know, do a good job and I know you're going to succeed? Did you get that kind of affirmation growing up?
You know, it's strange because there wasn't a lot of I love you said until we were older.
Okay.
You know, but the one thing that did happen, my parents were always there.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, he wasn't the huggy, lovey kind of mushy-gushy kind of person,
mm-hmm.
but he was always there. If there was something going on at school, he was there. If there was something going on, you know, if we were playing sports, but we were heavily involved in drum and bugle corps.
Okay.
You know,
somebody might not know what that is. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like marching band, but it's competitive. And so we were very active in the drum and bugle corps. And so my parents were very active with that. And so that was our lifestyle.
So you what did you play in? What did you do in the band?
I was a color guard. I was a flag girl.
A flag girl.
Yes.
So you were like one of the drum major type.
I wasn't the drum major.
I'm just trying to help the people get a sense, because some people might not have no idea about drum and
yeah.
bugle.
Yeah, it's kind of like a band.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just like the band.
So what were you
school.
Doing? You would have the flag.
I was a flag girl. I would twirl the flag.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You had one of those little things where you would put the hold the flag in there.
I did. They don't do that anymore.
Okay.
Uh-huh. They don't have those anymore.
Okay.
They just have a real light flagpole that they twirl around now. But yes, the old school was we had the flag cup.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you left home, then you got became attracted to a teddy bear.
Did I?
I'm just asking.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
You
All
weren't
right.
a teddy bear back then.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find out.
But how did you grow up? Did you grow up in a loving
I grew up in an affirming household, mm-hmm. and it was a spiritual household where we gathered for study of the word and Sunday school before Sunday and prayer and eating meals together. And my dad, similar to what you just expressed, was always working and always trying to provide. My mom was always there and always available. And both of them, when the opportunity presented itself, they would attend any of the sporting events that happened. I'm four brothers and one sister. And so I was the last, but I saw a lot of expressions of love through my siblings and my mom. But my dad was not a huggy, feely kind of fella. He was, I guess, kind of a strict person. What do you call them when they are?
A disciplinarian.
A disciplinarian, yeah. And so sports for me was an outlet to really not have to come home and work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a lot of camaraderie, is that the right word,
mm-hmm.
in sports and with the team and my coaches and with my teammates at an early age. And it helped develop the me to be the superstar that I was back in the day. And so I might still have some records in Birmingham because I was shooting a three-pointer before they even put the three-point line
That's
out
true.
There.
That's and very true.
People look at me now and they say, did you used to play football? And like you just indicated, no, I was a thin fella back then and had it going on. And Lady Kim ran me down and I had no other choice but to go ahead and surrender. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it. But no, I was a superstar back in the day. And I got the books in the garage to prove it. So don't mess with
scrap
me.
Scrapbooks.
That's right. That's right. Is that your daughter trying to get in touch with
yes,
you?
Yes. You know, she keeps calling me.
Why don't you go ahead and call her and see? Because she called you a couple of times. It
no,
might be
we're
something.
Good. No,
okay.
We're good. I know what it's about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Because, you know, we had a little incident the other day with Dion. And, you know, you never can tell. But, no. And there's one of our... Birmingham tribe on the phone, on the line, Shirley Barnett, and all of us kind of experienced some of the same kind of, and at church, I'm telling you, it was like we were brothers and sisters, you know, from different families, and then, you know, we would court each other and all of that kind of stuff and had that kind of relationship going on. We would go to camp and have a great time, so we grew up in that kind of environment, so it was a loving, affirming environment. It was not one where it was toxic and people were trying to push you down and not encourage you to do the best that you could. And then your siblings that were older were the ones who really set the tone for success and achievement. My brother Earl Murray Jr., he really was a hard worker and he was always a first in terms of, you know, succeeding, and when it came to fine homes and fine cars and things of that nature. And even though I had another brother who was a superb athlete and got drafted in the NBA, Earl Jr. Murray was really my role model. And I really looked up to him and admired from afar what he was doing. And little did I know that that would be a part of my DNA once I developed in terms of acquiring a fine taste for things and trying to be neat and clean and shoes and clothes and that kind of thing. I watched him close, and I don't know if he's on tonight or not, but I would have to take him to work on occasion so I could drive his car. And there were times when I would wash that car after I dropped him off, and I would wash it before I picked him back up in the evening. So it was that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was what you were looking for, but I was just going back down memory lane right there.
Okay. Well, we kind of...
strayed off a little bit.
Yes, but, you know, when we're talking about those brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. You know, with being close,
right,
or having a close relationship, that's for those who are tuning in a little late, that's where we, when we read in the first verse of the eighth chapter, about brothers and sisters. So that's how we got on this conversation.
Okay.
So,
all right. So let's, what about that second verse? What do you see there in terms of how we can really connect that or other verses. When you read the first seven verses, and for those of you who are just joining, as Lady Kim just indicated, we're in the eighth chapter of the Song of Solomon. Lady Kim has already read verses 1 through 7. We're just going back and just kind of re-emphasizing some of the things and trying to make the connection between how it relates to us and what God is saying to the church in these verses.
Amen. And so in the second verse, you know, as it relates to the church, the bridegroom was usually brought to the bride's house.
Okay.
He showed her mother respect and affection, and both become one. Mm-hmm. And so her mother instructed or educated the young woman, and then he would drink the juices of her pomegranate or wine thereof.
Okay. All right. And then what about the third verse? That's that verse again where we saw earlier, I think in the fourth and fifth chapter, where they emphasize his left hand should be under the head and the right hand for embrace. So the right hand is the hand of power and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And the left hand really serves as a means of support.
Yes.
And there's power in the right hand. That's taking nothing away from people who are left-handed.
That's right.
But that's just symbolic of what we are trying to emphasize here as it relates to the word.
And then when it comes to the church, you know, we sometimes say we extend the right hand of fellowship.
That's right.
Again, that's the hand of strength.
That's right.
You know, and because when we look at it scripturally, we know Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father.
Okay.
So again, that's the hand of strength and power, or the side of strength and power. Nothing, like you said, not taking anything away from those who are left-handed.
Okay. And as a matter of fact, Jesus is sitting now at the right hand, and he's not just sitting idly, but the word says he's interceding on our behalf.
Amen.
And so we ought not ever get to the point of thinking that our prayers are not being heard, and that God has not heard what we have petitioned. Because many times when we submit our request to God, and it doesn't happen in our timetable, we want to get ahead of God and fix it ourselves. And when God does answer, and when God does give us an opening or an opportunity to move forward, we have already gotten ahead of God and messed up what yeah. God was trying to do for us. Mm-hmm. Because there are some things, and we have to confess and admit, that we're just not ready for,
right.
You know, and God knows that better than we know ourselves. And so if God is holding up on something you're asking him for, the fault is not in God. Maybe he's trying to get you ready to receive, and you've got to make room. Mm-hmm. That's what we've been talking about.
Making
room for the harvest, because
yes.
you might have a lot of stuff sitting there in the way
mm-hmm.
that's hindering God from doing what he said he would do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And then when we go on to that fourth verse, young lady is talking to Shulamite woman, and she's requesting that ye daughters not stir or awake her love until he desires. So don't wake up her beloved until he wants to be aroused or awakened. And then the allusion is that the unmarried daughters would sing at marriages, one in the evening and another in the morning, awaking or stirring up from it all.
Okay. So this is, again, the eighth chapter of Song of Solomon. We are just going back through looking at these verses. Lady Kim has already read the first seven verses. There are only 14 verses in that eighth chapter. We're not going to try to get through all of them. We're just going to deal with the first seven tonight. And as we indicated, we're a little bit ahead of schedule, and so we want to make sure that we finish in a timely manner and cover all the bases. Because we're probably going to have to do a review and just kind of pick out a couple of things before we even move on as we prepare to close out this eighth chapter. Next week, maybe the week after that, we'll probably have to do a review and just kind of reflect back over some of the finer points in those eight chapters that we've covered.
And I think earlier, some weeks earlier, we talked about doing something on relationships.
Right, right.
So
right.
Maybe we can cover a few things on that.
Okay. Well, I did get the book, and we talked about the five love languages, and I did have some copies in my office, so that might be an opportunity for us to really kind of deal with that before we, because our next study won't start until the first of the year.
The first of the year.
And yes. So we'll have enough time maybe in December to talk about relationships.
That I think they would like that.
You think so?
Yes.
Did somebody give you a thumbs up saying that that's what they would like?
No, I didn't get a thumbs up.
Well, give Lady Kim a thumbs up. Go ahead, Lady Kim. You're throwing me off with all of this movement. Go to the door and answer the phone, because we're trying to see if that's going to be...
I don't know who that is, though.
In line with what everybody wants to see happen. Do y'all want to hear something? There it is right there. They're putting it up there. Y'all want to hear and talk a little bit about relationships after we... That's a thumbs up. There they go. And so that's what we'll do. We'll talk a little bit about relationships. Is that Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do that before we actually... You know, these ring doorbells and all of that, they'll let you see and everything that's happening and give you the kind of security that's needed. But that's our granddaughter at the door. But we will make sure that we jump into that whole relationship piece and just kind of give you some final points and see how that relates to what we have already talked about in the Songs of Solomon, and how we can really bring strength and give some spiritual guidance to being whole and being healthy in relationships, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, people try to change people, Lady Kim, but you can't change people, you know?
You can't? I didn't change you?
All right, go ahead. You go ahead. Well, I'll stop and let you.
Look, you can't change nobody,
you
okay?
Go ahead.
You have to learn how to, we'll talk about that another time.
No, go ahead and get that thought out so I can have a point of reference when I get ready to.
No, everybody has their own personality,
right,
their own temperament, and you can't change a person, so to speak, but you can learn to cohabitate and to complement one another.
Okay. And you're absolutely right, because what I was thinking was that as we grew together, we became more in tune with each other without specifically trying to change a person in terms of, I want this to be the person, I want this to be what I wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. But we have to make sure that we make room to grow together and receive the change in the person as we move forward in the relationship.
And I need to specify that, you know, you cannot change an individual,
right,
but God can.
That's right.
And so as you work together with that person, you know, let God do a work in that person.
Right. Because we want to see change happen overnight and want to see a change happen right now. And a lot of people find themselves perplexed and in a struggle trying to make sense of that when they don't see the change that they're looking for. And it's not really left up to us, it's left up to God.
Right.
And so we have to be persistent and fervent in our prayers, in that the other person, even though they might not necessarily agree, it's good to touch and agree. Two have to walk together in order for the kind of change that the two individuals might be looking for. might come to pass.
Amen. Amen. We had a couple of comments.
Okay.
Someone said we can only change. Sister Valerie Rankins, hi to you in Florida. She says we can only change ourselves and let God change the other.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Q says we can, all we can do is pray that change happens in us and them.
That's right. That's right. And so that's going to be a powerful time that we're going to spend after we finish with this eighth chapter, just taking a couple of weeks, maybe three, and talking about relationships and how, because a lot of people are struggling and going through and trying to make sense of it all. And sometimes the change happens, and God has an unusual way of making things happen, even though it might not look like initially that's what you have asked him to do. But God can move in a situation and he can turn the situation around. And as you said, prayer changes things, but prayer changes people as
yes,
well.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
yes, it does.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Is there another comment there?
Good relationships blend, Sister Quinn said.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. So we're in the eighth chapter of Songs of Solomon. We're going to pick that relationship piece up here in the next couple of weeks. But we are certainly grateful for each of you on the call. Is there another comment there that we need to deal with, Lady Kim?
Sister Valerie said the big problem is that we try to help God and God doesn't need our help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes us learning that the hard way because God will take us through some stuff. And he'll let us know that, no, we're not in control. The earth is the Lord's.
And the
fullness thereof. And the world and they that dwell therein. The cattle upon a thousand hills belong to him. The silver and gold, says the Lord, is mine. And so God can change a thing in his time if we are yet patient and waiting on him.
Yes.
So we can't get ahead of God.
That's right. Sister Vendora said, let God be God.
That's it. That's it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Let God be
Glory
God.
Glory God. Let God be God.
Yes.
Hey, Kim, I went to the eye doctor today and tried to get my exam, you know, my yearly exam. He said that my pressure was great and no form of cataracts or anything like that.
Wonderful.
But he put this when they... You know what it
dilated
is? Dilated my eyes.
You can't see.
And then he didn't even tell me, you know, he didn't give me no shades or nothing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and I went outside and I was like, wow, I had to come.
You should have gone back. Did you go back and get some?
No. I went on down, since it wasn't that far. I went,
thank God.
I came home and laid down. I said, I was hurting my head. My head started hurting. But that had nothing to do with the lesson. I don't know where that came from, but all right. So for the next 5 minutes, Lady Kim, let's go ahead and unless you had something else you want to just lift out of those, out of one or two of those latter verses, and let's go ahead and see if they're in the prayer requests, praise reports, and. If not, we'll get ready to close out. What are they saying? I can't hardly see. My eyes still.
Sister Shirley said a person can change with God's help if they want to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
With God's help, all things are possible.
Okay, with God's help. That's right. That's right. And any more comments there?
Dr. Q just being funny. Look this way, my brother.
Peace. And, you know, we closed out our institute on last week. Thursday night, I tell you, 16
awesome.
Weeks of training on leadership, stewardship. What was the third module?
Outreach and
event. What no?
We had leadership,
uh-huh.
Stewardship,
right.
Evangelism, and outreach.
Okay, that's what Dr. Butler did. Evangelism.
No, it wasn't evangelism. Stewardship.
That's what I'm saying.
Stewardship,
Come
leadership,
on,
outreach, and stewardship. Oh,
so
my goodness.
You know, if the teachers are having a hard time remembering that, guess what?
Discipleship.
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 That all ties
leadership, in, discipleship, stewardship, and outreach.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you, Dr.
Say it
Q.
again. Leadership, stewardship, discipleship,
and outreach.
And outreach. And those are the four pillars, really, that if we are able to build upon, then as leaders, we can set the tone and the tenor for what God is getting ready to do.
Amen.
And I just believe it's going to be a mighty move of God as a result of us going through that time together. And so we praise God for all of our leaders who led those particular modules. Each module was 4 weeks, and then we did a workshop. And come Saturday, the 3rd of December, I believe, we're going to have our final workshop, mm-hmm. where we're going to one of the, I guess it's a ministry, but he doesn't want to call it a shelter, wouldn't you say?
Well, a shelter, because he doesn't house people
right,
so, you know, a shelter is like a housing or a dwelling. Uh-huh. So he calls it, it is a ministry that he does, you know, offering counseling,
food, clothing,
for displaced citizens or homeless. You know, in the school system, we call them displaced because homeless seems so final and so harsh.
Right.
But many times families are only displaced. They're in between one residence to another.
And so we're going to go in and have a time where we would have a worship service, and also we'll provide food. And we're doing it on a Saturday. When normally we would go on the 4th Sunday, but we want to do this as a part of the workshop, the final workshop that Dr. Seymour was leading as it relates to our outreach, with some 28 leaders who have finalized that process, and we're looking forward to them really being engaged and embracing that whole outreach piece. We had a powerful time yesterday, and it's just amazing when you see it up close and personal, and how people are struggling, and how people are trying to get by with the bare necessities that oftentimes we take for granted. And I tell you, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, somebody tell me, where would we be? But we thank God for all that he's done, and we ought not take it for granted, nor should we take it lightly, because God has been faithful. He's blessed in abundance, and as I told them, the great Dr. T. Gary Benjamin always say, we're blessed to be a blessing. We're saved to do some saving. We're loved that we might love somebody else.
Amen. Amen.
You getting some requests, prayer requests?
Yes, I'm writing prayer requests.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to close out as we have gone through those first 7 verses of the 8th chapter of Song of Solomon. And next week, we'll pick back up with verses 8 through 14.
Okay.
All right.
So we have several prayer requests. Sister Jessica asked for prayers for her sons and her nephews. Brother Brandon and Prentice and AJ and Albert. We're asking for prayers. Sister Jessica's asking for prayers. Oh, that was Sister Vendora. I'm sorry. Sister Vendora asking prayers for her sons.
Okay.
Brandon, Prentice, and her nephews, AJ and Albert. And then Sister Jessica's asking for prayers for the City of Memphis and Shelby County government employees. We want to lift up our Leadership Institute and our feeding program mm-hmm. that we have at Anointed Temple of Praise. We want to lift up all of this, the displaced citizens. The weather is extremely cold, and people need places to stay, warm places to shelter, not only at night, but during the day.
That's right.
And so there are several warming stations around the city, and we hope individuals can find their way to the warming stations. We also have vouchers for the vulnerable that we're doing through the church. For just $20, you can purchase a voucher booklet that will give a displaced or homeless person a 4-night stay in a shelter.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Just for $20, you can give donate to the church You can do that through our online portal. Just put in the notes line vouchers, and you can buy more than one voucher booklet. But a one voucher booklet for 4 nights stay in a shelter is just $20. Mm-hmm. And those are for our displaced citizens. And then Sister Jones asked for prayer for her son, Kyan Jones. We also want to lift up her daughter, Corey, who is away at school. We're praying mm-hmm. for Corey to be surrounded by positive influences and put a hedge of protection around her, because so many crazy things go on these campuses. But we want to ask for safety and protection for Corey Jones. Also, Sister Lily Jones asked for prayer on yesterday, so we want to lift up Sister Lily Jones in prayer, and Sister Sandra Jones, no relationship through these Joneses we have in our congregation, but Sister Sandra Jones is in St. Francis Hospital, and so we want to lift her up in prayer also.
Okay, all right. Well, the hour is upon us, Lady Kim. There are others you want to add. We want to put Brother Smith on there, of course, Clinton Smith, and of course, our Brother Earl Murray Jr. down in St. Mary's, Georgia, and our nephew
Anthony Hanley
in Birmingham, and my sister Gloria Hanley. Gloria Hanley Palmer. Yeah, she's probably taking away some of those other names in between, but her name is Palmer.
And also Sandra Murray.
Sandra Murray, that's right. All right, well, will you close us out then with a word of prayer, Lady Kim?
Yes, and we want to pray. A lot of people will be traveling this week for visiting family for the holidays, and so we pray for traveling grace and mercy for people who will be going to visit family. Let us pray as we get ready to close tonight. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We bless you and we honor you tonight, God. We give
you
all the praise and all the honor and all the glory that you deserve. We lift up all of the prayer requests that have been mentioned tonight,
yes,
Lord.
God. Yes, God.
So many, oh God, who are sick. So many, God, who are displaced. So many, God, who are bereaved. So many people who are struggling without direction. But we pray, oh God, because we know that you are the Lord of the harvest.
Thank you, God.
And that you, oh God, will supply all that
we need according
to your riches
Hallelujah.
And glory by
Hallelujah.
Christ
Hallelujah.
Jesus. We lift up Brandon and Prentice and AJ and Albert to you tonight, God. We lift up Kyan and Corey to you tonight.
Yes, God. Yes,
we lift
God.
Up Lily and Sandra to you tonight. We lift up Brother Clinton Smith and
Thank
Earl Murray
you,
Jr. tonight. We lift up Anthony Hanley and Sandra Murray tonight.
Yes, God.
We lift up Gloria Palmer tonight.
Even now, God,
we ask for traveling grace and mercy as people travel the dangerous highways and byways of life on this Thanksgiving season. We ask that they would make it to their destination
Hallelujah.
Safely
Hallelujah.
And make it back home safely. So we thank you tonight,
thank
God,
you, God,
for another Thanksgiving. We give you all the praise
all
for
the
being
praise.
A good and gracious and merciful God.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for providing all of our needs
all
according
our needs.
To your riches
yes,
and glory
God.
By Christ
yes,
Jesus.
God. Yes, God.
We thank you, oh God, that you continue to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we ask
or think.
So we ask, oh God, and we continue to ask for your grace and mercy as we go through. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. We thank you for all of the people that lended their gifts and their hands on this past weekend
yes,
at the
God.
Shelter, God. Those who cooked the meals in the
Hallelujah.
Kitchen.
Hallelujah.
Those who served the meals. Those
yes,
who
God.
Cleaned up. Those, oh God, who helped in any way, form, or fashion. We thank you for their gift of helps tonight,
you,
God, because we could not
do it without them. That's right.
We thank you for the souls that were saved.
Yes, God.
And we thank you, God, that you continue to allow us to be a light, oh God, that sitteth on the hill
Hallelujah.
That cannot be hidden. We thank you for your grace and your mercy on ATOP, and we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes,
Amen.
God. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, I see someone has already expressed happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And happy Thanksgiving to each of you. We make it a chance to see you on Thanksgiving Day, so you'll see the notice when it comes out, a live feed.